related to what was remembered, the where was the issue that you're going to deal with today, the issue of the CCA, that is the issue of Valmandal and also the Malamala issue. Those are the issues that we will deal with today. But before we proceed, can I allow Pumla to indicate the apologies that we received so far? Over to you, Pumla.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. Good morning, colleagues. I've got apologies from MP Mbazama. She is busy with constituency work. MP Magadla is off sick. MP Matsindi, I'm not sure whether she's on study talk on study leave, but she is attending whether it's a meeting with study, so I can't remember. Thank you for that. I've got an apology from the DM. DM Squatcha is in KZN for it. Deployment. DM Mashako Lamini is attending a cabinet committee meeting, and the minister is attending a cabinet in Pretoria. Thank you, Chair. Sorry, Chile Loma Nenge is off sick, and MP Filton is also busy with constituency work. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, those are the apologies you have received. Honourable colleagues, do you want to say something?
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I just find it rather worrisome that we're going to be discussing issues like Malamala where ministerial answers are going to be required and none of the ministers are here. I mean, certain questions that need to be asked regarding how some deals were done requires the input of Honourable Minister Nkwinti, who's not here either, so I don't know how far we can go to the Malamala debate. But it's quite disturbing that none of the ministers are here today. Also, Honourable Walters offers his apologies. Thank you.
I think the Malamala issue happened to everyone that they did was not there. It's an old issue, I think, did you? So, we agree with you that ministers are supposed to be here, they are attending the notice. But they were postponed, but it doesn't mean that we did not report to the president. Can I hear from honourable members to talk? We've got the acting DG, we've got the sales system, who's the one who was responsible. We must also account. Honourable Chairman.
All answers, all questions will be answered, I guess so. And if there's if there are gaps in the answering of the questions, we can still carry them over to the next meeting and have the minister answer if there is need to. I don't think it will be necessary for us to call him quickly to come and ask questions. He's no longer the minister here. And that I think the present minister will have to take responsibility for everything, including even providing answers to those questions. There's no claims left.
If there will also, just to add, if there will be questions that if they responded to, not limited to members have got the right to ask the minister questions to be responded to verbally in the house or in writing. But we hope that the delegation to be able to answer the questions that will be provided by members. Then we'll take it from there. Thank you, honourable members. Can we then proceed with our meeting? We note the apologies. Members, minutes are circulated to us on time over the minutes of the 6th of June. That was circulated. Can you look at page one of the minutes? Thank you. of the minutes. Page 35.3.4. Sitting on violence. The West. It's sitting on Val and mayors and prosecutors. If sitting on Val mayors is one, we must delete the first N. Then in the second line, we must delete after the titles, we must delete they were already set because it's in the first sentence, the presentation. Anything on page 3? Has the program been circulated to members of the venue areas where we're going to?
The program is still the same as the one that was circulated to members. Only to say the venues are not yet confirmed by the municipality because the team from Parliament only left yesterday. Only the proper and Northwest and Accrington. That's the news has been confirmed. Northwest and the book only the news confirmed. Other provinces are not yet confirmed.
Yeah. Any questions on the proper report?
Thank you, Jay, too. That you. Let me start with the one about the venues, Chair. Can we, to you, Chair, to committee secretary, and the staff that will be doing scouting, make sure that the venues, at least that the using facilities are in order. Chair, when we arrive, it's at least clean, those kind of things, it's been workable. Condition, Chair. And I pray that most of them will be accessible, easily accessible for my shelf, Chair. That is the one thing, Chair. The other question, Chair, religion the approval. I just want to know if you can rule out of order. What happened when last week when we had the discussion? We all left here fairly uncertain that the approval was given conditionally. And the condition actually had a big hindrance for us, and we fear the possibility that we might not be able to do this as soon as it's been done now. And I just want to give a sense whether yourself and the group have worked miracles, whether the secretary have worked miracles on their own, or whether there was a complete change from the chair of chairs when he came back from his overseas, that he had as much experience.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mateta, for that question. After the previous meeting, our last meeting, we met with the managers. We ended up writing the letter to the chairperson of committee. After that, the response was not directed to us as a committee, it was directed to the managers. Can you let us reflect the second response? Because we didn't get anyone, but we met with the managers and highlighted the challenges, that the conditions that were attached to the approval of the application.
The condition that was approved was the one that was talking about subject, the approval from the commission from the Constitutional Court. Other conditions have been the condition of catering and the condition of support staff.
Any further questions? And then make another one.
Let me check the money. I think the first issue, I don't know if I heard you say, Chair, but we really had to make it the management of Parliament, a special committee, just to get them to clear the confusion, as they call it, my graphic, the clarity, to clear the confusion as to where would you ever hear Concord authorizing Parliament on legislation. That was what that, and I think they clarified, and then the chair had to work a little bit miracle from that clarity. Honorable Chair, Honorable Mandela, that was one part. There was also another concurrent political process, but because administratively then got sorted, then that's how it come to miracles, as you suggest. So the other aspect about this, I've been copied somewhere that the Lamosa, the ones who had interdicted the restitution before, have since written to four committees of Parliament, that including minerals and then land of NCOP, that including the CRC, Constitutional Review Committee, ourselves and all. I've had the time, I did telephonically talk to the chair, she had a time also to look at it. I don't know if it would be necessary to go through it, but Lamosa, all of a sudden in the 11th hour, are also demanding that we stop the hearing. The Constitutional Review Committee on Section 25 must stop the hearing. The NCOP Committee must stop the hearing. The bill on the traditional leadership and what? Coincident. It must also be stopped. When I conferred with the chair, I was saying there's absolutely no way the Parliament and this committee do not take instructions from NGOs. But also that these being public hearings, it is opportunity for them to go to the hearing and to state their case instead of ransoming everyone else. I may just say it adds to my suspicion that the process, one way or the other, is being resisted Lamusa has come out. We don't know who else they are working with. Lamusa has come out. They are just having a blanket demand on all committees of parliament. Part of their, on four committees of parliament, part of their submission is very, very flawed. They say, for instance, in restitution, over 1998 claim, over 20,000 are still outstanding. And the fact, according to us on the record, is that about 6,000, by now less, unless you say CCM team resting on laurels, by now they are less than 6,000. So even their facts are very incorrect. They have no say, no structure outside Parliament has a say on parliamentary programs. They can have a say on the content, which we think public hearings will be. I thought Chair should just touch on that in passing, but otherwise everything else is all systems go. Thank you.
Any comments? Are you answered, Honourable Taylor?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I am, and I just want to express our satisfaction and congratulations for your successful intervention, Chair, you and your team, to make sure that we are on course for the public earlier.
Thank you very much. I think Pamela is explaining fully that the other conditions still remain the same. So as the committee, we have to make sure in our different groups that the time for the hearing accommodate those people who are coming to us. So we can't keep them for 4 hours. At the end of the day, it's nothing. And also, we have places at 6:05 o'clock to the same extent. I think we need to make that. Thank you very much, honorable members. The next item on our agenda, the department is supposed to brief us with regards to the CPA.
There is something I missed when I talked about times, at times mentioned. So I'm not looking at anything here, so I'm not sure what you're talking about. But I think I'm missing something.
The approval has got conditions. I'm saying the chief must look at that. The approval has got conditions. The first one, there will be no catering for participants in the public hearing. That remains. It's still a condition. So that is what I'm saying, that the two groups must just look at it and see how they manage time when they are in those places, so that they don't keep people for long while there's no catering that has been arranged for them.
Just one last one. Usually bills in this committee, I don't know in finance and division of revenue, which has so many bills all the time, but in this committee usually bills come from the department. So there are usually good briefing notes from the department. So I'm just looking at hearings, there hearings are sitting, whether we have now as committee summarized a kind of a presentation approach that highlighting and emphasizing key issues. Usually the department does that and with good speaking notes, if you like, Chair. So I'm just checking that because something else to be there in all those places and but of course I've taken by state of thank you. And the legal team, especially including that of the department, they usually come to observe because sometimes they are they will have to apply that in any event. So that would be another emphasis, Chair, including senior level people. When stakeholders raise issues, we don't like, Chair, the approach to come 9 months later to talk about pinyin and whatnot. When stakeholders raise issues, if they are senior people, it's good that they can make interventions on the spot. And usually, Chair gives department all the time, about an hour, which I'm pleased with, to make it 30 minutes for department or less, just to respond to key issues that people raise. So we'll still just be appealing that the department send senior people to the ground. I think the minister made that emphasis when I met her at some stage, that she is not into the idea of an office-bound department. And she was teasing with me and saying, but it looks like officials are so accustomed to office environment, nice aircon, but who will be again in the dusty areas? And this time around, we chose dusty areas, we must just say. Dusty, dusty, dusty. Because we want where the people are. Thank you.
Interpreters to go with the communities. People have resigned, some have got other jobs, so they are understaffed currently. They are in process of recruiting. However, I am busy preparing a request from the house chair to outsource interpreters. So we might not have them as you want, but that would depend from the house chair, but we have already liaise with the provinces to get us people, so you are making that arrangement for language practitioners to assist us. Thank you.
I know the members of parliament can, you know, grind slowly. I was thinking that why can't we engage with the departmental people in the province? And check if they cannot get us somebody from the department. There must be an interpreter in the department somewhere. You have to look at help us, but where is it?
I think those are the areas that we need to, that must be considered, even the legislature.
Yes, yes.
If they can access, you know, for their own programs, but they don't know what is going to happen because all of us are supposed to. We don't know whether our program is the same as theirs, that from next week they are going for the constituency that it can be contacted with regard to the request for the interpreter.
You mean it means we have to invite the legislature and then invite the district municipality and invite also local municipalities where we'll be holding the meeting. Because in most instances, you go to an area and they tell you that no, the legislature was not invited, they don't know about this.
Quick one, what happens if we don't get interpreters, language interpreters? I mean, Honourable Chamberlain, just let the wheels turn slowly. If we don't get it, do we postpone it? Because, I mean, it is essential that we have language interpretation in Egypt, just primarily. That's the first question. The second thing Honourable Chamberlain was asking about was the catering. I didn't quite understand that. Is there not going to be catering at the venue, or is there not going to be catering where we reside as well, where we temporarily reside as well?
There's no catering for everyone. Members and also the participants. You know, usually when we've got public hearing, service providers appointed to cater for members and also for the participants. But currently, there are people with those conditions that there will be no catering for everyone. But we don't have a problem as members. The problem that we're having was that of the participants.
It is a follow-up. I mean, if we can't feed people that are coming to the public hearings, how many people are going to come?
People are coming to the public hearings. It's a normal the practice that we used to have that we cater for them, but they're not coming for food.
They're
coming for... But that is what I was saying initially, that we have to make sure that we don't keep them long, for too long, because they won't concentrate for a long time. But people will go into the hearings, they are not coming for food, they are coming for information.
Okay, Chair. I think that we did try, we did motivate to Parliament management on this issue. It was not won. Part of the argument they raised was that even the Constitution Review Committee, which is much, much hyped out there, which you expect to volumes and volumes of people, even the Constitution Review Committee will be going without catering for people. So it became very, very difficult to raise our argument beyond that point. Clearly now the hype is about the CRC. Now the CRC itself is going without catering. But also they leverage that to indicate that it's not about us. It seems to be an emerging pattern going forward, but also informed by the budget. We motivated the opposite, but at the end of the day, we allow managers to manage because the parliament management and with the political blessings of the committee or of the house chair. So that is that, Chairperson. But I may say that, Honourable Robertson, we have been to public hearings where there was no catering. The example is Ado. I don't know if you were there yet. The pots were scattered all over the road, and then there was no catering there at the meeting. There was also another case in the Northwest. The committee left me talking to some of the militant youth and trying to indicate to them that, sorry man, there could be no catering. Then at the end of the day, those youth themselves understood. So I'm just supporting that. In principle, if our colleague, Honourable Robertson, can rest assured that we tried our best and we couldn't win it, and we were of that same view. The comforting one is that there will probably be something for you at the hotel. We have not booked hotels that are self-catered, so there will be something for you, but not for the masses of your people. It's an unfortunate one, and it's really unfortunate. But looking at budget, it makes sense. I did my estimation. I thought it's somewhere above 5 million. I just estimated the plate and times number of people times 18 sites. I think I came to something the minimum would be 5. So it makes some sense if Parliament's budget is tight, but I do not justify it. But you see, in discussions with the various structures, you accept when a certain position, you don't win all your positions. So that's the situation changed so far as the case. And I think there was another point on it to touch the interpretation. Thank you, Chair. I wanted to talk on it.
Chair, before you step off the catering thing. I don't know, I'm trying to follow Honorable Mukoni about the issue of provision of catering for people. He's wishy-washy. He doesn't give a massive working class perspective. Or at best, a Christian perspective. When Jesus Christ tells them to seek a refuge, we need to seek refuge in class. When Jesus discovered that he had an audience of more than people that he had anticipated, he said, let's use mathematics, let's use the multiplication.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Let's use the multiplication to feed our people. And he said to those, bring whatever that you have and apply the method of multiplication. And food was multiplied for all. And there's no shame if people eat and live that which they could not consume. There's no shame in that. That's what the Bible says at least. Now let's seek refuge to Marxism. On the burial of Karl Marx, Friedrich Engels says, food marketh the man. Food marketh the man. Meaning food makes the man. And says lots of other things. He said a man must eat before he can perform all any other activities. Well, man is a gender sensitive concept in this case.
What about a woman?
It is inclusive of a woman as well. It is inclusive of a child or children as well. Man must eat before he or she can engage in any form of activity, including working, including playing, including other activities, which Honorable Mugun is very good at. So, in seeking refuge in both religion and in classes, the point I'm making is let our people be given that which will sustain them, so that they contribute meaningfully to the discussion, they internalize the information, go back with that information for their own enhancement and development, and not for themselves, but for those that they have come to represent. Let food be provided for our people. Thanks so much.
I think Honorable Ngoni is explaining that after the first report to the previous meeting with the conditions which I offered to meet the managers to explain the conditions, but we were told that we can cut across all the committees. If they are still the same and after to be the same, and also they think even other committees, the same principle will apply, because even though the, just the same which are the Jews or in April, you know, but they said there's nothing that people will need to report to their opinion. But the Eskimla reported that nothing has changed.
Yeah.
What has changed that we don't conduct the public hearing until the Concord has approved our request for the extension. It means that was the only condition that was removed, but the others still stand. We tried our best. There's nothing more that we can do. We wish that the participants must get something, but if the parliament says no, we don't have resources. So we can't stop the hearings because of that. We have to continue with our Honorable Minister.
Thank you very much. The input by Honorable Matia is instructive, except for a disclaimer about the other activities. She knows me too. Chair, just to go to the question about the interpreter, we have had that situation before. In the Northern Cape, North Cape or Northwest, we had a team of parliamentary interpreters, only to find that we had to be given two interpreters in the Khoisan language there. And they told us that there are still different groups within, or if you like, tribes. So they gave us, so
So the chair's suggestion that if we touch base and supported by Honorable Chamberlain to say these structures which he then mentioned, we should be able to be assisted. But Chair, I do not know about the interpreter of the House set last week. And I think there was interpretation on language once the House set or the other week. I don't know where was this, when was this mass exodus. But Chair, if we take a look at the groups, the group with the chair will touch Mpumalanga. Definitely the chair will be very useful in linking. And then it will touch Limpopo, definitely Honorable Chaps will be there. It will touch Tswane and them, Honorable Chaps will still be there. It will then touch Northwest, again Honorable Chaps will still be very crucial. There might be Tswana Sotho in the Northwest, other than English Africans. The Africans will predominantly the Western Cape will all be there. So Honorable Robertson, I think he's very fluent in African, Honorable Mandela. Okay, Honorable Robertson. So in the Western Cape, but we think that we have not got a report that there are zero interpreters, but it means they are really reduced. But in terms of functionality, say, or workability, doability, I think it is doable. The other group is really going coastal. Kate, myself, I don't know from the other colleagues, other parties, who's coming. Again, Zulu, Xhosa, in the Free State, we might need someone like Honorable Matthias, depending on where, on which committee is going to fall into, in which group. Otherwise, that's the main area. So, Chair, practically speaking, it is doable, this. But we don't want to take away people's jobs. The interpreters are professional. But in terms of the essence of conveying to the people that, do you want the land claims to open? Well, that's the main question, really. Then it can be said in all languages by all of us, Chair. But it's important to get that reflection that people usually do. Chair, I wanted to make also an appeal to the Restitution Commission, because they will know all languages. In the sense, the legal language of restitution, in that sense. And then the language of the people where they are, if the original teams, CLCC, could help back us up, because they would then be able to, they are the useful link, yeah, they are the, because they would understand the language and the language of the people on the ground, the language of lawmaking. That's all, Chair. Otherwise, it's all systems go once again. Thank you.
Let's allow Pumla to continue with the process, but we usually invite the legislatures in our public hearings, the municipalities, and also the district as indicated by Honorable Chairman. But it depends also on their program, because as in other places they attend, in others they don't attend. But in most cases, the report that we are receiving is that we can't go to the province without the communication with the legislature, because in most cases that the ones were also supposed to assist us with regard to coordination.
Honourable members, can we then proceed to the next item? Can we get a briefing from the Department of the Communal Property Association without kind of the challenge?
Good morning, Chair and members. We have prepared the presentation that has been circulated for the Communal Property Association without title deeds. We have Mr. who will be doing the presentation for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Acting DG, DG, and colleagues. Chair,
the title of the report says Communal Conflict Association without title. I just want to add something that the report deals with CPAs who don't have a title deed at all. Title deed was never issued. And those where the title deed were issued but they don't have it in hand. In other words, we're talking about CPAs that don't have title in their hands, whether it was issued or whether it was not issued by the people. You'll see in the report there are title deeds are somewhere else, but we don't have it in hand. Now the report will deal about that. Again, before I go to the presentation, I want to indicate that every April of New Year, we get this ready, this report of all the CPAs that were, the title were transferred. Now, normally we send this thing to the provinces to verify and update their reports as far as the title are concerned. Now, going to the report, Chair, I also want to indicate that you'll see that the background is not really long. This was not done out of disrespect. And it wasn't done because of laziness. It's just that we wanted to go into the nitty-gritty of the issues. We normally, when we write a report, we normally tell the background, the challenges, and all the things. Now, we felt that maybe this was not. So, pardon us for not having go into the details of the background, but allow me to give you a brief background about that. Just to get the honourable members on board what's happening, I want to briefly tell how CPA is registered, established and registered, and the registration certificate issued and then transfer taking place. Before any community can be given a land, starting the province have to establish a CPA into which the title is going to be transferred ultimately. Because title is not normally transferred into individual unless there are individual titles. But normally our CPAs, our titles transfer into CPAs. Now once the province have assisted the community to establish a CPA, it's been sent to the national office to register and issue a certificate and a registration number. Now, there are certain processes that the province has to go through, and a certain processes that the national office has to check whether the province have done what it's supposed to do, to see whether they are compliant before a registration certificate is issued. Now, it's only after the registration certificate has been issued, it's been sent back to the province, then the province gets involved in transferring the land into the name of the CPA. Now, there are challenges during this transfer of the land. Once the CPA certificate has been issued, sometimes things go smooth. The land has just been transferred smoothly. But it's not always. Sometimes the land is not, the land that was earmarked and agreed to be transferred, there are changes in mind. Finally, the owner of the land changes his mind. No, I'm not selling my land anymore because it's only. And then, mind you, the CPA would have been registered then. What it means is that the province either have to look for alternative land, which start the whole process again, or the CPA might be deregistered if it comes to a push. Sometimes, on the commission side, a community is staining certain portions of land, but for the sake of transfer, we register the CPA and two portions, maybe five, has been saying two portions of land has been transferred. The other three is still in process. And finally, committees will complain that we don't have title deeds They want to explain that now target is for certain areas, we've got for other areas. And then the other thing, other challenge, that some of the land belongs to the state. Can we pass it here? Can be our own department. Now, there are other processes that need to be followed to transfer the land from the state to the beneficiaries. And other delays is sometimes where the owners want certain endorsement to the title. Like in the case of there's an area where the owner wants endorsement to save the trees. Now there's a squabble there, the land can be transferred, but the problem is engaged with the owner to do that. And sometimes, you know, conflict within the community. The CPA has been registered, issued, the land has been transferred, and then conflicts within the community. Why I mention this one? Because sometimes when the land is transferred, there's a conflict within the community. You don't know who to give the title to, because there's an issue of legitimacy. Other people who question that, no, this CPA executive is not legitimate, don't give them the title. The title is there, but it cannot be issued. Historically, Chair, to hand over title was a big issue in the department. You know, we used to go out and hand over, media was there. But that has died down. And I can't really say the reason why it has died down. Now, this challenge has created other problems. Now, there's a delay in transfer of the title because the owners changed mind. Sometimes the title is not given, because there's no land to be transferred because owners change minds. Sometimes there's delay. Sometimes the CPA needs to be deregistered because there's no land now when the CPA is being established. To transfer land, you must first start with the registration of the CPA and issue of the CPA. And it gives delay in handing out the title. You see in Mpumalanga, there is the titles are there in the offices, but because of the conflict within the community, the province feel a bit reluctant to hand over the title for several reasons. Other one that, you know, sometimes people will claim will want the title to enter into contact with other communities involved. Now the provinces know about this, and so they will hold back and say, well, let's keep to this title until the CPA is compliant. After the CPA is compliant, then the title will be handed over. But this creates problems for both the department and for the communities. Now, Chair, having given this background, I will go into the provinces themselves. The problem is that there's a whole long list of CPAs without title, and there are also intervention by departments in case. Now, through your chair, I don't know whether one should go CPA by CPA, or should we just go to the narrative, the summary for you see in before the list, there's a summary that explains what happened in the story. With the hope that the honorable members would have gone through the report and know the issues where there are questions. If you go to the Eastern Cape, you'll see that Eastern Cape and the Limpopo has got most CPAs without the title deed. This thing is changing itself here. In the Eastern Cape, got 45 CPAs. There are different reasons why they don't have title. Seven have sold the land. Normally, we have to deregister the CPAs. But deregistration, unlike registration, deregistration has got its own challenges. There are assets of the CPA sometimes where they've sold land. And how do you deal with the assets if you have to register land use? Sell the assets and share it among themselves. Sometimes there are conflicts. People say, no, the land has been sold by Jeff Sebastian, and I was not part of this one. So I don't want the land to be sold. Now, how do you do it? You can't just go to deregister when there are other issues that you have to deal with. Hence, the deregistration takes some time. But I would not want to justify the length of the delay. I'm just saying sometimes it takes some time to deregister, unlike when you have to re-register. And then four of those in the Eastern Cape have changed from CPA to other another landholding title, like close corporation and all those things, trust. The 10, that's where the owners have withdrawn their offer to pitch, I mean to sell. Now the CPA don't have land. The land needs to be, the CPA needs to be deregistered. But the Eastern Cape is in the process of deregistering. But as I'm saying, Chair, it's not like an overnight thing. It takes some time because the other things that we need to consider. Ngagula CPA, Ngagula, those two fraudulent means. Yeah, my apologies on that.
Can we get the proper pronunciation of that name? Of that name. If government officials cannot have pronounced, then what more about that?
It's not working in the same case, so the language, maybe it's a proper name. Can you pronounce it as a coming from Prisay?
Thank you, Chair. I think we are in the same boat with the Honourable. Much as one wants to pronounce the name correctly, but there's some challenges. Chair, Joe Schlong was part of the transfer. Joe Schlong was based on the communist policy, and that needs to be investigated. And then there's also a number of endorsements before the land can transfer. Yeah, I think I've done with this one. And then this is the list. You see on the last column, on the right-hand side, the intervention, what the province is doing in order to ultimately either deregister or hand over the title to the community. Now, there's also dates. I had to really sit down with the province and say, you must give us, possible dates that they, if they can do this thing before the date is fine, but at least must have dates where they can do this thing. I know that Eastern Cape is busy with this thing. So you can see there's Better Than, Black Hood, and the other CPAs where they don't have titles. Titles under the state, not yet transferred. And others have been transferred. I mean, owners have changed mine, as you can see. I don't, like I said, Chair, whether I should go with CPA by CPA or not. And it goes on with the Eastern Cape. The dates are there where the province itself feels that they will be able to have dealt with issues by then. And then how can we have two? It's Rama and Valmata. I won't talk about Valmata because it's a report that's going to come up with Valmata. Rama is like that. There's allegations that land has been sold. So the province is working on that, by investigating. But on the other hand, there are problems within the city. So provinces feel that maybe the best is to get somebody, because it's difficult. It's very dangerous to go to Rama. I passed there and I saw my house is being built. I don't know what's happening there. But it's difficult to get as an official to go to Rama. AK-47s are mentioned, the guns are mentioned. You know, it's difficult for officials to go. Even for the CPA members themselves. I remember in one of the meetings in Victoria, I asked them, why don't you just go and deal with it? They said, no, I can't talk like that because my life is not in danger. They are afraid. They are so afraid of what's happening there. The provincial office really tried to help to bring in police, but still there are a lot of issues there. KwaZulu-Natal, we've got two. Kwaxolo, Amakhwane. Those who don't have CPA. Kwaxolo, the convert is being appointed to transfer, and the deadline is 30 September. Amakhwane, there's also conflict there where the process is busy trying to investigate and verify who are the real owners. So there's a verification taking on happening in KZN. Limpopo, that's where we have the 42 CPAs. The type lists are there. It's just that they don't have it in hand. Hence, you said, well, we can't say they are type lists when they don't have it. Let's put this thing into the report and let it be discussed. Now you see, they said title lists are waiting to be collected. Now, Chair, it will give you the wrong impression that the officials are just sitting in the office expecting people to come and collect the title deed. It's actually not the case. What the province is saying is that those 42 CPAs are non-compliant, they are fighting with this. And they are afraid to give them the title deed in case one will use the title deed for its own benefit against the benefit of the community. Now they are holding on to the title deed. But what they're doing now, those 42, they are busy trying to assist them to regularize that so that they can give them a title. So it's not like they are waiting there, sitting in the offices and waiting for an executive or for chairperson of the CP to come and collect them. It's unlike in the home affairs where you get a SMS saying come and collect your ID or something like that. This is not the case. They are just, the wording might be wrong, but they are just sitting there. The titles are there. They just want the CPA to be compliant before they can end. The Limpopo goes on, there's lots of them, the 142. And it's expected that by the 31st of August, most if not all of the CPAs would have obtained their title deeds because they are there. It's just for them to be compliant and then for them to be given the title. Mpumalanga, we've got one, Jabulani. This is the one where there's endorsement problem, where the owner wants the issues of trees to appear in the title. And the PSSC, they've got a problem with that one, but the negotiations are going on. They're also hoping that by 31st of August, the issue will have been resolved and the transfer will take place. Northern Cape, we've got five. Fernil. Fernil has been to court and they couldn't transfer this thing because there was a court case. The court case was basically on the legitimacy of the chairperson, where the people said, no, he's not part of the community. Now there were issues and the department, the province felt that rather let this thing, they applied to place this panel under administration. But there's an out-of-court settlement where they said, rather than administration, appoint the facilitator, which they call a referee, to assist the committee. Now, they are busy with that part. Daniel Albertus. They've got one title in the name, Outstanding Portion Subject to Division of the Land. The department's appointed service provider general indicated that it will take 8 months for the subdivision to be concluded. Target date is 31 August. Signal Val is also about non-compliance. Conveyors have been appointed and transfer projected to 30 June. In other words, at the end of this month. Chair, all the dates that are near, we will have to come and report back and say what happened after those days. Gong. Title deed, one title deed is an issue. However, the problems within the community. So there are two outstanding portions, and there's a problem with signing of the settlement agreement. the cases facilitators conducted resolution of the CPA to assist immediately with the aim of signing the settlement agreement by 31st July next month. Mayor put on saying the department is planning to hand over the site in June. I suppose it should be the end of June this year. End of June this month. And then we have Northwest. Northwest is about 6.7. Mulukwane, then we have Bakatabaka Fela, which is well known. We have Happy CPA, we have El Jorge, and Monamala. Mulukwane, the title deed to other portions, same except for the game plan. What is happening in Mulukwane? They have a title deed for one portion, but they are playing two portions. Now, the portion that they claim, there are ruins. And the broader Bakwena Babu Gimistani feels that instead of the title being handed to Mulukwane, let it be a communal heritage. Now, the department, the province is busy with the community negotiating around this thing. Instead of giving this portion to Mulukwane, it should be, let it be for the broader, because Mulukwane is part of that Bakwena Babu Gimistani. Now, they want to turn this portion into a heritage site. Bakatabaka Fela, they have some of the land that has been transferred, but they're complaining about other portions that have not been transferred. And I'm told that legal services in terms of transfer of properties that has been resolved. Power of asking is submitted to state land for approval. Hadi is an issue of land having been under the old Bob government now. The process and also enforcement. Now, processes are involved in internally where the land will be transferred to CPA. As job, it's a matter of where does it belong. So during the demarcation, there were problems since they were falling under the Mpopo, under the Northwest. Now, there are issues with the two departments are dealing with issues to transfer the land. The matter has been fed to state then to update the document and to amend the boundaries to transfer with state. Mokopole, outstanding evaluation and withdrawal could be in the cause of delay. Our department is in process of transfer. Munamala, the land was in the name of the public way. So the two departments are talking to transfer the land. So they say that there has been established to the master and the DG National Department for intervention.
The we did not receive, and I think the Eastern, the Free State and the Western case, they don't have they find that they don't in the report. Let's briefly the report chair about the CPAs with our titles. Like I said, sometimes they've been issued but not given to the CPAs. Sometimes the titles have not been issued for different reasons. That's that. I indicated. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the briefing. Any additions?
Thank you, Chair.
Means that there are no additions. Honourable members, you have been listening to the presentation about the CPA, the child disease and CPA without when listening to the presentation and also when looking at the report, just want to cite the Limpopo one. The indication of title deeds which are still in the office waiting to be collected by CPA.
the date effect. The two statements. Type says that in the office, the footnote waiting to be collected by the CPA. But the footnote is saying all CPAs that are compliant will be issued with their type states by the date effect. Do you mean that where you are saying provincial intervention to assist the type of need? I'm confused with the intervention, because you're saying the type of await collection by CPA committee. Is that the intervention? Then you put note all compliant CPA will receive their type of by the 31st of August 2018. Can you clarify that? Because to me, as you have said, type deeds are in the office. There's no one who wants to go out and issue type deeds to the CPA. So they're waiting for the CPA to come to the office and collect their titles. But on the other side, you are saying again, you can't issue the title deed to an individual. It means that you can issue the title deed to all the CPA members for them to witness that we have received a title deed for our CPA. Can you clarify the two contradictory statements? You can't issue the title deed to the individual, but on the other side, you're waiting for the CPA, whether CPA individual or CPA executive, to collect the title deed. What is really happening? Your dates again. Looking at all your dates, angaz nomi province, the province been phone line. Ukuthi bayahamba la. Asibeke nama dates abe la. 30th September, 31st November, 15th December. 15th December, kuna umuntu obasase office njalo asase ne energy okwenza umsebenzi. On Monday nje ngiyandlulisa ukuthi ngidlulise nje ukuthi by this time siyobe siwa nonke ngathi ngiboni la. End of June, end of July, end of August. Nonke end of uma ngabe lama title deeds ishushwa minister uyokhona ukuhambela zonke lezi ndawo nezibalayo. If need there will be a ceremony yokuishushwa kwama title deeds. Ngalana, kunama-ceremony, ngalana, nimele ukuthi bazowalana. What is the procedure for issuing the title deeds? Honorable members, you have been listening to the presentation. Can you comment? Honorable Robertson, Honorable Matias, Honorable Matela, Honorable Chablin.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you very much for the presentation. Just regards the terminology of restitution of land rights. My understanding of restitution of land rights is restoring land rights to the primary beneficiaries or individuals that once lost their land. And how do you restore those rights as well, offering a title deed, individual title deed, as we're doing it right now, the title deed for CPAs. So, the question I have, if that's what restitution means, then why is it that the state has the power to withhold title deeds from CPAs? And if that's the case again, and you say the state is waiting for CPAs to be compliant before they are given title deeds, does that mean that it's plausible to think that if CPAs that were once compliant and that are not compliant anymore will have their title deeds withdrawn from them? Because that's actually what's in my interpretation of what's being said. you're not offering title deeds, and I agree with the Honourable Chair, you're not offering title deeds, you're not giving title deeds for various reasons, I beg your pardon. But one of them is you're waiting for the CPS to be compliant. And you're worried about that there's infighting, etc., etc. But is that not what restitution of land rights means? It's to restore people's dignity by title. Then on page 8, you mentioned some CPAs that are waiting to be deregistered due to property being sold. Were these the property that was sold under the name of the CPA, did they have title deeds? Were they sold legally? Were they sold illegally? Or should I say with the consent of the CPA or without the consent of the CPA? And most importantly, what I'm trying to find out is, did they have a title deed before they sold it off? Did they sell the land off to a private individual? And if that's the case, I'd like to know, you know, what it's about, because if it's indicating that title deeds means that people are taking CPAs and selling their titles back for the interests of financial compensation, immediate financial compensation, well, you know, that is their right, but it is concerning. Jabulani CPA in Mpumalanga, any CPA that you say you have got a problem with it, where is Jabulani CPA? I'm really interested to hear that. And that's it from me. I'll ask supplementary questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Well, the first question that comes to mind is, what purpose does a title deed serve? If a title deed for your private property serves a specific purpose, wouldn't the same logic apply in this case? In the sense that being in possession of a title deed enables you to enter into agreement, enables you to acquire capital, to acquire finance, to do certain improvements on your property. Wouldn't the same logic apply as well in this case? So if the same logic applies in this case, I don't know, I might be wrong. Why are you withholding such a title deed? That's the most fundamental question. Why? What? You are saying title deeds will be given, will be released from you. Currently they are being quarantined. Why are you quarantining the title deeds? What is the good English here?
Quarantine.
No, the Englishman says quarantine. And if upon releasing them, what would be the basis of releasing them? Do you have a checklist for compliance? And if you do, give us a checklist. Give us a checklist for compliance. Tell us these are the steps. These are things that ought to be done, and you tick them off box by box, and after they've been ticked off, you then make a determination that the CPA complies. Can you please give us a checklist? In an absence of a checklist, shall we take that you are misleading this committee and parliament that upon compliance, CPAs will be given the title deed. But even before we get there, give us a checklist. And if you don't have such a checklist, have these CPAs been taken through a workshop? Have they been inducted to understand that for them to be compliant, these are certain things that they need to do? And do you have a program that demonstrates that you ever took such an initiative of training CPAs so that they can comply upon being requested to do so? Lastly, Madam Chair, CPAs are vehicles and mechanisms used to restore the land back to the original people. Then the transitional arrangement. The transitional arrangement. And we support it wholeheartedly. The transitional arrangement which our people must understand that we're in transition towards a big arrangement through which everyone else shall understand that CPF shall have to cease to exist and people as a whole will assume control and ownership of the land in currently owned. But it's important that as we are transitionally moving towards that future, people are capacitated to run these farms efficiently and effectively and productively. We need to perhaps in the future get a report, Madam Chair. I want to make a submission. A report on, now today we have received a report on CPAs without titling. In the future we need to get a report on CPAs with titling and perhaps simultaneously get a report on CPAs that have not yet been registered, recognized, which have land has not yet been transferred to them, such as the CPA in Kwaju. We brought Kwaju and the plight of Kwaju in this parliament for the first time, and the DA went there rushing. And they thought that they have invented something new. They thought that by sounding Kwaju or beyond their own voice, that they discovered something new which was never discovered before, which was never there. We need to get a report of such CPAs which have not been registered, recognized, and land has not yet been transferred to them. Look, that land that lies there, which is state-owned land, which all the government should do, Madam Chair, is to give that land to the people. That's not happening in Malama, which is scandalous. But we'll come to Malama at a later stage when we deal with that matter.
I'm sorry, I'm not watching. We must realize how desperate the people of Kwaju are. If they've gone to both ANC and the ESO for assistance and they received none, and eventually came to the DA, with which we've grown that issue leaps and bounds, and we're very, very proud of it. I must thank Honourable Matosa for bringing it up in today's meeting.
Did they receive something
after
going to the DA?
Did they receive something after going to the ANC?
Chair, thank you. Honourable Robert, there are claims of people getting put their hands from the DA. I don't know where they got put their hands. But on a serious note, Chair, I don't want to repeat any questions that I have been asked. Chair, I want to agree with my colleagues who have raised very fundamental questions. My concern would be, Chair, Sipape, with regard to, if one looks in particular at the Eastern Cape, the 12 CPAs, of whom two are provisional, have now to be deregistered because land that was promised to them, and I'm saying promise in the context of them being established on the basis that there's negotiation that are happening and that the land will be purchased, I presume, for them. That is why the CPA was formed. My problem with that, Chair, with the mere deregistration, is that the expectation has been raised. People have begun to dream, acting DG, that their dreams are becoming true.
that they are going to own land, they're going to do things to that land. Why should that dream be now completely wiped out? Just because a promise of land that has been identified has not been met. What prevents the department from admitting, yes, we failed to secure farm X? Why can't we secure farm B for the very same people, Chair? So that is my question, Chair. Why can't that be done? Why must the hopes and dreams of people now just be dashed because we failed in the first attempt to get the land that had been identified, Chair? Yeah, thank you very much.
Chairperson, we were told that some of the CPAs have to be deregistered because there was a renegation on the side of the farmer who was supposed to sell the farm to the community. And the landowner decided to change his or her mind at the last minute. So as a result, there's no reason for that CPA to exist, to continue existing, because there's no property for them to administer. But I don't want to check. Why does it take this long to deregister? Because when you register, you call people, you do the research, you do the verifications, and blah, 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 blah. You wait for the land to be transferred, then the CPA will open an account and have a registration number or whatever. But why does it take this long to revert? I'm looking at the housing report, the RAMA. The problem statement is that it is alleged that the RAMA has sold its land. It is alleged. Are we not sure that the land is sold? Because if the land is sold, it is sold. If it is alleged, then it means we are not even sure whether the land is sold, it was sold, or it's still in the, when something is sold, it's that somebody bought it. There was an exchange of some things. It could be money or whatever that was exchanged. And you look at the intervention. The intervention does not talk to the problems of the land being sold. Because when you want to appoint an administrator, who will that administrator tell you be administering because the land would have been sold? Because if the land is sold, I think what you need to do is to open a case of fraud. Somebody stole this theft because no one has the right to sell communal land. There's a case in the Eastern Cape, in Witting Gonzole, where the chairperson sold the land and then what takes it in the Western Cape. We are not appointing an administrator. The case is in court. And the case is in court because the intention is to reverse that. To reverse that land sale. And then we can appoint an administrator later after the land is intended to its rightful owner. That is the...
Maybe before responding to the issues raised by members, turnaround time for registration, the turnaround time for deregistration as raised by Honorable Chabelin. Because during your presentation, while I was listening, if I listened well, you said if the CPA decided to sell the land, it takes time to deregister because there are some assets in the land. But here is the situation where you deregister a CPA where the seller decided to withdraw. What makes it difficult to deregister? And maybe to just educate me, because I'm a little bit confused by the process itself. You register the CPA while you are still negotiating with the owner of the land, or you register the CPA after you have finalized, you are sure now that everything has been done, now you have to register the CPA. Because to me, some of your statements tell me that while you are busy with the negotiations on the other side, it becomes a dual process. You are busy with the negotiations on the other side, you register. So before finalizing, the owner will change their mind, then you have to deregister. Can you just explain it? Because to me, that is not supposed to be a problem. If you finalize all the processes, then you register the CPA. But while you are still processing the claim, at the same time you register. The owner, when the owner changes the mind, you have to deregister. Can you just educate us on the process? Then the other one is the issue of, you know, when looking at your report, you tell us about your intervention, tell us about the date that by this time we'll be able to deal to issue the title deed. But what is lacking, you don't tell us when did you start these processes. Because other cases are maybe cases of 2000, but you are still processing them in 2018. Other cases are cases maybe of 1999 or, you know, but you are not specific in your report that you started with this process, then you are aiming to finalize this process by this date. Then Tina, in other words, you are just micromanaging our minds with Tina, we must just look at the finalization, not looking at the period when the process was started, and also when is the process going to be finalized. Process, so long we are still trying to deregister, or we are still trying to register, but to us you are not saying, we've started this process in this month, we're aiming to finalize it in this month, so that we can see the duration. Whether the period is long, if it's long, we'll ask you why is it taking so long. So that is why you are not specific on when did you start the process. You only give us your plan. We are planning to finalize it by this, but we're not sure when have you started with it. Then the last one is Honorable Chabelin raised it. It seems as if you're not treating the issues in the same way. Other CPAs, chairperson or whosoever has sold the land, the matter is in the court. Other CPA, the chairperson has sold the land, you are in the process of deregistering that CPA. Other CPA, the chairperson have sold the land, you are appointing the administrator. So there's no consistency. If CPA, chairperson or whosoever sold the land without the consent of the claimant,
this is what we must do as a department. We are treating the CPAs differently. Maybe if you can explain that to us, why? And if there are allegations that Rama CPA have sold the land, have you done any investigation? Or it's just allegation? That is why we are thinking of, because allegation is allegation. If you can go there and find out that the land has not been sold, I think your intervention will assist by appointing the administrator. But you're telling us allegations are this, the land has been sold, intervention, you're going to appoint the administrator, as Honorable Chabeling has said. Uhlangana kuphi the two? The turnaround time for the provisional also. CPA to be converted to permanent CPA. That is why your report is lacking, because it's not specific. This CPA was provisional from this date. We're aiming to register it permanently by this date. We just give us our interventions. Amanya anabo 2019. You are sure with 2019, so this is our Honorable Matthias. Honorable Matthias, are going to be here by 2019? I'm not sure. So that is why they are saying other interventions are dated 2019. Then when new members come, those interventions, the same interventions, will be dated 2025. You know? That's the trick of the officials. They're saying, no, these people are here for five years, don't worry. In the first year, we're going to tell them this. In the second year, we're going to tell them this. In the third year, we're going to tell them this. In the fourth year, we're going to tell them that no, we'll be finalized this by the 2019, the election. Yeah, we know that some of them will not be answers over corner. Nitanda Ningatandi is over corner. And we'll still be having this report. So those are the tricks that you are using. Can you please respond to issues raised by members? There's one that is being referred to the minister and the acting DG. The Northwest one. Maybe the acting DG can just brief us how far are they with this intervention. The Mona Maladi, CPA, the intervention is that this matter is escalated to the minister and DG for National Department of Public Works and Department of Rural Development and Land Reform for intervention. And who is refusing to who? So the Department of Public Works, who refused to give land to the rural development. How far? I think this one is relevant to the DG. I think DG, how far are you with the minister with regards to this matter? Another one, Chairman?
No, I'm fascinated by this missing tea on matters. Mm-hmm. It sounds more like they're referring to those who are dating. Now, page 12, how is it? In the RLCC office is assisting with verification of matters. It's a bit like that. There are those who are mating, so you have to verify. Who is mating with you?
I've also seen that one. The other one was of the minister. I think whether it's N that is missing on the issue of the minister, but it's here in the report, I will check it. And the one that has been raised by Honorable Chabeling, the missing T. Acting DG.
By August, I am not really too sure, but we will try by all means to make sure that the handing over of this title deed is done ASAP. We've got a schedule of them through the Minister's office. And then the last issue that you have asked me regarding the Northwest, we are in the process of arranging a meeting between my office and the DG of Public Works to try and sort out the issue of the land that is currently under the custodianship of Public Works. And the rest of the questions, LTA will take them. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Honorable members, DG, CNCC, AG, DG, and the committee. With regard to the question that was posed, regarding whether we will be able to issue title deeds by the 15th of December, and how did you arrive at that date? Basically, the challenge that it's been experienced with regard to those CPAs that are experiencing internal conflict, as my colleague has pointed out. And what we intend to do is to try and resolve the internal conflict and stabilize the situation before title deeds can be issued to those CPAs. Otherwise, we will be fueling fire by giving title deeds to members of committees whose legitimacy is being contested and in most instances are not able to comply with their corporate governance responsibilities with regard to reporting to the general membership of the CPA. So we intend to facilitate the process of stabilizing things in those entities prior to them issuing out their title deeds. So structures that will be enjoyed the legitimacy of the majority of members of the entity. There was a question asked by Honorable Marcel regarding the restoration of land rights, and I think it's Honorable Robertson. Why does the state withhold the title deed? And if a CPA becomes non-compliant, do we intend to take away the title deed from such a CPA? I think the answer to that is basically what I said earlier, that we try to ensure that a structure that we're giving this title deed to enjoys legitimacy in the eyes of the membership before we can give the title deed to. And if in the event that it then reverts to a stage of conflict, we cannot go back and take away the title deed. This is just a precautionary measure to say it is better to give out a title deed to a structure that enjoys legitimacy than just going and issuing out title deed to people that were elected maybe 7 years ago, 10 years ago, but who are now no longer enjoying the legitimacy of the general members. Honorable Matthias posed a question on why are we withholding title deeds and what is the basis for us determining compliance? Do we have a compliance checklist? Yes, we do have a compliance checklist, and that checklist is basically based on, it is based on what is required in terms of legislation that a CPA has to do in each financial year. If the elections are due, it must have elections in place. In each financial year, there must be an AGM. At the AGM, they must present their annual financial statements. They must be able to produce records of meetings in the form of minutes and all the other things that they are required to do in terms of their reporting obligations. There was also a question, or rather a comment made by, I think it's Honorable Chabeleng, regarding the expectations that we are raising through the registration of provisional CPAs. And Honorable Madel, okay, by raising expectations through the registration of provisional CPAs, and why can't alternative less than be acquired in the event that we are unable to acquire the land that was primarily, that was initially identified for purposes of acquisition. A provisional CPA by its nature is an entity of a temporary nature. And it is established to put the members together in preparation for registration of a permanent CPA. Now, we had various land reform programs that were running in the department, and there was a program that was known as LRAD, Land Redistribution for Agricultural Development. And if you look at some of the CPAs that were registered, mostly were registered during that period. And when the PLUS program came into being, some of them were just left hanging in abeyance because land could no longer be acquired directly for private individuals under the former LRAD program. And we then had the PLUS program where land is acquired and held by the state for purposes of availing it to the people that may need to engage in agriculture. So those are some of the considerations that we need to make in assessing why these entities are there in the first place. Some could not be proceeded with because the program under which they were supposed to acquire land then ceased to exist within the department. Then there is the issue of RAMA and why can't the case be opened, and what role will the administrator play if we say that we intend to appoint an administrator to take over the affairs of RAMA? What will the administrator be administering? I think, honorable members, I need to remind the House that the issue of RAMA has been presented in this very House, and the various challenges that have been experienced by the department in trying to intervene in RAMA were presented here, and the frustrations vented out. And one of the main frustrations that are experienced by the department, which I believe is very central in not enabling the department to move forward as it wanted to, is the issue of the cooperation on the part of the members. A number of meetings were called to take decisions or a proposed to take decisions around what is needed to be done with Rama. An AGM was called. Still, the members were unable to come and attend those meetings, mainly because of the fear that exists based on the threats that were articulated by my colleague here. And because of that, it then becomes incumbent to come up with a plan that will bypass the need for the members to meet in the form of having them at the AGM, rather getting someone that will be vested with the necessary powers to be able to take decisions that need to be taken, because the general membership, they are so afraid that even when you call a meeting, they are unable to come to the meeting. But if you get an administrator in place, the administrator will be carrying all the powers and functions that are supposed to be exercised by the executive committee. And that such an administrator will then be in a better position to then undertake whatever intervention that is needed. And that is currently not possible because of the fear that exists when you try to call members to come and attend to the affairs of RAM. So we think that it's one way of trying to bypass the process of having to call members who never pitch up for meetings because they're scared to come to the meeting. There was a question from the chair on the turnaround time for the registration and deregistration of CPAs. On the registration of CPAs, the process or the duration of the process is determined by the planning processes that go into it. Once a membership list has been compiled, and the necessary supporting documents have been compiled, like your memorandum has been signed and all the other attachments have been included. When the submission gets to national office, the turnaround time is around 24 to 48 hours before a certificate gets issued. That's with regard to the registration process. Now, with regard to the deregistration, that's where you experience a bit of a challenge, because there are certain requirements that must be met when you deregister a CPA. Once you've established it, you have a legal document that guides how it operates in the form of the constitution. And the same challenge that you experience with some CPAs not correcting and not being able to then formally meet and pass a resolution, I also experienced when you have to embark on the process of deregistration, because you need to call them to a meeting, they need to pass resolutions that will then serve as an initiator of the deregistration process. So those dynamics also play a part in prolonging the deregistration process. But where the members are generally available, it's an easy process. Once they pass a resolution, then all the other systems can then follow to administratively then register the CPA.
That before you, why are you still looking? If the owner has withdrawn, what resolution is needed? Do you still need the community resolution? If the owner has withdrawn the offer, you still need a resolution for that.
Thanks, Chairperson. Once the owner has withdrawn after registration of the CPA, you still have the challenge of having a juristic person in place. And that juristic person, whatever happens, has to be guided by the legislation that created such a juristic person. And the CPA Act specifies that you still need those resolutions in place. Once the registration certificate has been issued, the number has been allocated, then it is a juristic person that is registered in terms of the CPA Act. And therefore, any process that follows thereafter has to be compliant to the CPA Act.
Thank you. Thanks, Sam. Just about one or two. Honorable Matthias asked whether the school that we have trained is in compliance. Yes, there's proof. We normally every year go on a campaign to train students, either through the district forums or what. But we train. There's proof in the office and in provinces that CPs have been trained. So if the proof is needed, we will make it available. There are mandates, training manuals, the dates, and the people who attended the training. So that was that. We are also embarking now again on training, because training is continuous. The CPA members keep on changing. So we can't just say you've trained last year and you can stop this year. The training continues. What's the issue? The chairperson asked about the date and when did you start. Yes, I should acknowledge that we did not put that information in. When did the process start? For us to be able to say by this time it should be finished. That we take it as a permission, and I will call you to that. Yeah, I think Jabulani is in Guma. Those are the questions that I have noted, Chair. I don't know whether you have left some or if you really want to add something.
Yes. Thanks very much, Chairperson. Yes, that's what I was trying to do. It seems my colleague next door is just telling me that the Chablan CPA is infiltrative. I would have to verify that. It's from Mpumalanga that it's infiltrative. I think I should also respond to the issues which have been touched on, some of them, but not concluded. The issue on the provisional CPAs, for instance, the provisional CPA is created in the statute, in the law, for a period of 12 months. It's to provide for certain of these processes to be engaged in, e.g., the verification of claimants, the time it takes for the project cycle to do the things that must be done before transfer of land, e.g., conveyancing, all of those processes. The provisional CPA was created in the statute to provide for that. In the current CPA amendment bill, you will notice that the provisional CPAs are being done away with. This is the one that you have been dealing with because of this realization that, first of all, it takes longer in some instances than the 12 months. And secondly, the very problems that you're talking about where sometimes the land is lost. So it was felt that the provisional CA, that creation of that provision of the provisional CPA is actually creating the sometimes unmet expectations. So it's better to actually finalize the project cycle up to the end before we actually then get the title deed. That is the reason why the provisional CPA is being done away. But whilst we still have the legislation or that provision, it is important that all those processes are engaged in. I thought I should just explain that. And also just to say that in terms of the training, because it has been touched on, there are three spaces three processes, major processes in the establishment of the CPAs. First is the actual establishment of the CPA. Training happens at that time because communities must choose their legal entity. They have to be facilitated or trained or helped to choose the CPA or the legal entity of their choice. It can be a CC. It can be a trust, it can be a CPA. So the training is provided on an ongoing basis. When they opt for the CPA, for instance, you have to train the CPAs also on the legislation, the type of entity that they have chosen, what, and they are pro forma. We've got a training manual with the systems and procedures, and there's a pro forma of what should be contained in the constitution. What are the provisions? What are those things that have to be provided for in the report, for instance, the annual reports that you must give? What constitutes an AGM? What's the person? So there's ongoing training, and there's also, as I said, after the registration, once the CPA has been done and Chess has responded to that, we have developed training programs which we will be able to give with dates and the content of what actually takes place in those trainings. And we do them on an ongoing basis, but actually we also do them very systematically in all the provinces, including the different district offices there and this district fora that have been established. I thought I should just emphasize on that. And then to say finally, in terms of the actual registration, we are trying to perfect the situation where we will have a database, an electronic database that is able to give us information at the touch of a button of which CPA is where, because currently we only have a manual database of these the existing CPAs. And as we've been saying, and as the DG has been saying even in the previous meeting, we are busy developing a strategy now that will be comprehensive, that enables us to deal with the problem of CPAs in a comprehensive way, and we'll be able to provide the strategy by the end of June. That is the promise that we made. Thank you very much.
On the question of Honor, I didn't hear the response of the first question of Honorable Matthias. I hope you have noted it. The first question about the deal of the title deed.
Yes, I recorded that when Honorable Matthias said what happened.
Oh, yeah. In question. The first one from Honorable Matthias. I didn't hear you responding to that.
The question relates to what value is attached to the title deed. What purpose does it serve? The title deed is the document that proves title to land. And through the title deed or possession of the title deed, you can then exercise the rights of an owner. Like for instance, if you want to enter into a sale agreement, you will require a title deed to then prove that you are the owner of such property. And you can enter into other transactions like encumbering the property consent through mortgages and other things. So there are a lot of things that can flow from the possession of a title deed, a lot of benefits that can flow from possession of a title deed. At the same time, the possession of a title deed by the wrong person can also pose challenges, like the case that that was mentioned, the Nguli case, where the chairperson, through his possession of the title deed, was able to then enter into a transaction to sell people's property without soliciting the buy-in of the members of that legal entity. So a lot of things can flow from possession of the title deed. So there are benefits, and also there may be some risks that are associated with that. It is in the nature of human beings. Thanks.
It's not like the provinces or departments unilaterally just withhold the CPA's titleship. Some members actually come to the department and say, can you please don't hand over the title yet because there are problems within the community. So it's not like the department is doing it on its own. Yes, sometimes it does, but some members come to the office and say, can you just hold on until we sorted out our problems? So we normally agree, say, all right, let's withhold the title and then assist them to resolve the issues before they hand over the title. So not a unilateral decision most of the time. Thanks.
And I remember, but my problem is that the title ditch, the CPA title ditch, is it registered in the name of an individual or in the name of the community? Number one. Number two, how can a person, a single person, sell the land with a title deed that is not in his or her name, but is in the name of the community? Number three, when you respond, you must know that you open a lot of questions, the can of when. If you intervene as a department to resolve the dispute, after the dispute has been resolved, do you hand over the title deed? Because you're saying that some are coming to the office to tell you that no, don't go and issue the title deed, there are disputes, then you intervene as a department. After your intervention and after you satisfy yourself that now everything is sorted out, do you call all the claimants and hand over the title deed? Or do you still withhold the title deed? The issue of the compliance is raised also, it's a challenge. But we'll discuss it. Honorable.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I previously asked about CPA land that had been sold, whether it was under title, whether it had title deeds or not. An Honourable Chabeleng, I think, tried to answer me on that one, but I'm just going through this. For instance, on page 9, the reasons why CPOs don't have title deeds. And you can go on, and the first one will say, the owner withdrew the offer. Okay, that's characterizing it in the one way. Then the next one would say CPA land sold to Andre Marais Boudreau Trust. Then the next one says CPA lost land due to Dowd Jane. We remember that one. Then a little bit further down it says the seller withdrew offer of property that was registered in the name of the CPA. Then underneath it there's another one that says no land was acquired. And that will have to cause the deregistration of the CPA. Now, I can understand what Honourable Chabeleng said, and quite rightly said that, that the owner of the land that withdraws his option to sell, which led you to ask the question about whether or not a title deed should be prematurely, the name of CPA or the CPA name should be registered prematurely. Purchase of the land. Now, is it the report that's incorrect? Because I see different ways in which, here it says CPA, here quite blatantly, Alpha CPA land. CPA sold land on page 8. CPA sold land, which then caused the intervention and the landless title? Was it sold illegally? Was it sold legally? Because it can't be all land, all of these cases over here are being deregistered because the owner or the previous owner of the land withdrew out of the deal. You can answer that for me, please. Thank you.
Then I'll answer the last question on Triple H.
I was measuring our time to myself with the rest of the agenda, but I think the issues are so important, so necessarily could mean we flow into aftermath. Chair, I wanted to start from where Honorable Matthias actually left off. I think he was actually spot on. I couldn't help laughing in amusement because he was articulating very much a copycat of my imagination of the land question in 58. You have a fight. He's not even listening. How do you take credit to someone who's not?
I'm the chair of this meeting. Otherwise, I'll call the founder.
As you call another one.
Thank you, Chair. No, absolutely, but on a serious note, Honorable Matthias actually met a very useful scenario about CPA, their meaning. It is land in the hands of our people. Put differently, it is social capital. It is means of production at the expense, at the hands, at the disposal of our people. It is to be taken very, very seriously. There might be hue and cry, Chair, that in 24 years, the pace of land reform is measured at about 10% or below. Of course, people don't count the many millions that have gone into financial compensation. I could say, for argument's sake, that takes you to about 16-17%. And then people don't count also land bought by people voluntarily, like all of us in their room, most of us, 80%. Who are middle class, we can buy small holdings, we can... All of us, ne? We can, yes. Matthias can also use a fighter, but he can buy a small holding, a 3 hectare there, and pay a monthly bond of 14,000 or whatever. So there's restituted land also, or if you like, or reproduced land in that sense. So we're not at 10% as such, figuratively speaking, because I want to enter the debate in the public space about how much land has been redistributed or reformed, if you like. I think it's fairly at about 20-something%, and we're not going to 100. Because unless if you're going to take the people, the land that's also with the people, we're not going to 100. Maybe we're going to 70. Maybe we're at about 20, 21, 22. Ron Matthias, we can debate that a little later, and you just to refine the useful bird's-eye view on the approach to land. CPA Chair, I would have said all that to the department to emphasize that we cannot take your sluggish, if that means slow, pace comfortably on CPA. And the whole, all the people who say when the land returns, that lion that was killed is our brother. All those people are saying that they really not getting closer to the issue. The issues are, there's this CPA, there are these CPAs. And partner to that, Mr. Sibaba, and all the people who are dealing with this the area of work, is the notion at a small business development called cooperatives. But cooperatives do not necessarily have to own land. They can own a truck or trucks. They can own anything. CPAs are a variant of cooperatives, but which seek to own land and do everything from there. I always make an example about a basic thing, a quarry. You can just be quarry mining there in the CPA. So I think that conception is important because most of you, I know you've drawn from legal background, you don't worry about anything else, and as long as you are legally correct, but please, you've got to be economically correct and transformationally correct
There's no institution, as far as I know, that will teach you transformation. Transformation comes with your maturity and with your disposition. That's why I can interview a PhD person, a doctor, interview an honored person, and honored person gets a job. So the disposition, the depth, that quality of understanding of transformation, which is not taught anywhere as far as I know. CPA is a very, very passionate subject, and when our department is not doing well, we get worried. Chair, my next point I thought is important, the only three. The tools, the diagnostic tools, please, from the report, I was saying to someone the other time, yesterday, that the report system, you play it in the video, if you play it in the Bioscope, those who are old enough, like you know the Bioscope, if you play it in the Bioscope, the system, you really say nothing. You are saying absolutely nothing. My colleagues try to tease it from an empirical point of view, and I'm delving to the empirical point of view to say, having listened to how you respond, you are really saying nothing. You're not showing us that commitment. You're not showing us that vision, that people state that seeks to push forward the agenda of empowering people through CPAs. So we need a diagnostic tool. I don't know who's responsible, acting DG, Mr. Sparber, DMs, who is the DDG responsible, I don't know. We need a tool that analyzes CPAs, categorizes with a predetermined dispossession. So you come to each CPA, you do, you are not even a project officer, you are just an officer, entry level, second grade from entry. You just come to a project, you even without punching in, even manually, but I support punching in. Manually, you get to this project, you get certain information, and then it falls into its category. And then you can define a solution. You can determine timeline and then by who. The action plan. Haven't you done action plan, project management? You have not. Sorry for that. We'll try and get some money in the next budget for you to do project management, action planning, strategic planning and all that at micro level, not the big book you usually submit, written by one or two of you. And so we need a tool where CPA can fit. It's very difficult to read this dumb talk. Just things thrown around in English. Even a very unfair English like Oral Chabalane saw some worrying things there in that English, meters and all. So please, no, by visa, quality assurance. Where is quality assurance for documents before you put them to Parliament? They're in the public space. And Funa Vele, but PMG are here, media is here, everyone's here. Sometimes we're beamed live on national television. And then with these kinds of not even quality assured documents, you really worry us a lot. You really worry us. I was phoning the acting DG to emphasize certain issues, and then she was saying, this time around, things will have to be done. Everyone will have to do his or her work. And good luck, acting DG, if you still holding to that approach. It would be a good one. People must quality assure documents. People must be ashamed. Rephrase even your own paragraph and say, no, man, I can put this better in a much more professional manner. The tool, if you have missed what I was saying, the second point, the tool, where every CPA can fit in and you can predetermine possible scenarios. There are 3-4 scenarios at the end of the tunnel. You don't have such a tool. And my last point, Chair. In our legacy report, just for us to support the Chair and all of us in the Fifth Parliament, we will definitely need at least the following CPAs to be amicably resolved. Me, Fumzile, Ngwenya Mabila must be remembered for amicably resolving 1, Rama, 2, Mansuli, Tuli, 3, Pinir, 4, I call it Mumsbury, but somebody from the Western Cape is going to tell us where we went. People were crying, and people misled the former minister. fed all is well. Meanwhile, the co-op, the project remains with the previous owner. And minister is so convinced that now all is well. People were crying tears in front of us. So we told the former minister, no, false. Your story is the wrong one. In football, you sold a dummy. You skip a happy ball and then you step over and then that's what the officials did to the former minister. Malmesbury is the fourth one. Fifth one, we're still going to discuss. Valmanstown, it did flash in our screens even now. Sixth one is Bahata Bahafela. And the last one, if I'm forgetting anything, I was saying to my mind, we needed this 10. But the last one will then be Malamal. All these in the next 11 months, which is speaking the truth, we're not going anywhere. In the next parliament, you'll still find us. You'll still find us in the next parliament. And if for any reason I refer this one to you, acting DG, if you should fail us on any one of these, remember there are 1,502 at some point, last financial year, CPA. Sometimes you even mislead us on numbers. We stick to numbers previously can't in your pocket. But we are only asking for about 8-10. That was saying, please get these in order. And our mama, the chair here, will be so proud to put in during her 5-year term, at least these key CPAs were sorted. There you just say the case is in court. Who are you reporting to? Is that accounting? All others, in fact, don't get it. We've been flying with Rama chair since you came into office, since I came into office. I've sat here next to you. Whenever I went out for a short leave, whenever a chair went to short leave, I would then remain appointing him. I go. It can never be that you are so toothless that in 5 years you're not going to resolve. So, Chair, I was raising those 3 points. One, what CPA means to us and land redistribution. Two, the diagnostic tool for dealing with CPA. I teased the UJF, I said the registrar in waiting. When you hand over to a new registrar, you must hand over CPA packaged into diagnostic tools into various categories. And lastly, the 10. I've mentioned 7, but we can develop the list to 10. That we want by March next year to say. In our legacy report, we have at least a resolve. They are key, they are strategic, they are top ones, including Bahata. You are told by Supreme Court of by Concord, please pay, compensate them 15 million, you have not paid it. And I've seen it with my eyes. I know the committee has not. I've always confessed to the committee that I go a little bit of an extra mile. If a committee is constrained because of time now and closes here, I use my extra time to go where the committee would have gone, in its best interest anyway. Bahata, you have been told 15 million. And just what was to buy the trouble and I suspect you even want to go back or but it's a Concord determination. I've seen it. I can produce it if required. After lunch, I can ask them to send me a copy of that. So I'm just saying, check these 10, I'm saying 10, but I mentioned 7, we dare not fail. Now, if you're pulling my palm, and people respect us. But if you fail us on this one,
thank you, sir.
Honorable members, have been briefed about the CPA. We have raised our concerns, hoping that the acting DG and the team have noted our concerns. But just a summary before we move to the other matter. As Honorable Nguni has said, that we need to address the challenges faced by CPA. We must not hand over an empty box to the registrar. The registrar must be able to start from somewhere and move forward. The 42 title deeds in Limpopo that are still in the office
can you please go and categorize them? Why are they in those offices? Because it can't be that all the only two CPAs have got conflicts or whatever. Can you categorize them? What problems that make them not to have their titles in hand? Can you provide that committee to the report, to the committee, to that report, to the portfolio committee? In July, we have to get, end of July, we have to get a progress report about all the titles that you said, about all the CPAs where you indicated that titles would be issued by the end of June and July. We want a progress report on those. Can you also please then go and review the time frame that you've indicated in your report? 30th of September, 30th of October, 30th of whatever. To me, you were just thumbsucking. The time frames are not realistic. Then, the other one, review all the CPAs where land has been sold by individuals. And those matters must be taken to court. We must not be soft on other matters, you know, take other matters to court. Other people are moving around with checks here in Cape Town as if nothing has happened. Can we review all the cases where the land has been sold by an individual person in the CPA and give us the progress report? Then we want to resolve as this committee that the training that Honorable Matthias talked about, we were told that the department was training only executive members, if honorable members remember well. We took a decision that that's why executive members do what they want in the land, because other beneficiaries are not aware, because they are not trained. All beneficiaries, all the claimants, only the executive. That is why the ball is with the executive, because other members are not aware about the functionality or the operation, how the CPA should function, what is their role as claimant. And we requested the department to go and assist and extend their training to all the CPA members, not to the executive only, because most of the problems that we are having with the CPA are from the executive members, taking for granted that the other members are not aware of their roles and responsibilities or their rights in the CPS CPA members. Then the last one is that why do you have problems? Can you just go and explain one line with us? Why do you have problems with people who want dual compensation while the act is clear? They want to go back to the land at the same time they want financial compensation. Then in your report, each and every one time, this is a problem. It will be a problem for how long? Because the act is clear. Because if you have opted for financial compensation, that's it. You must be compensated, your case is closed. But if you're saying we've got a problem, each and every time you're crying, we've got a problem with people who want financial compensation at the same time they want to, you know, to be restored back to the land. Why do you have a problem when the act is clear? Implement the act, enforce the act. I don't want to see any reason. Your motive is that why reason? No, we've got a problem of people who want to be compensated twice. You compensate the person once. It's their choice to choose land. So if a person choose land, that must be land. If a person choose financial compensation, it's financial compensation, case closed. But not in Alabama, but in Pembe, they're for referee. nina niyagijima nami sekufanele ukuthi ngiyekuphi. The act is clear, you must implement it. Honorable members, can we have a 5 minute station break, then from there we'll go to the issue of Mahala.
Thank you, Chair. This is what we are doing the presentation on Malamala. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, SDG colleagues. I am going to be presenting the report that was requested by the Portfolio Committee on Malamala and on what we refer to as Nandamari CPA, which is the CPA that was established on behalf of the Kenyan community. I am accompanied by a team that worked on the project. I have Isaac Peter, who is legal in the national office. I have Shilote Rivan, who is the quality assurance, but also a director of the Monzo company, which is one of the companies that was set up for the Kenyan community. He represents the interest of government. In that company. I have Sam Gosi, who is the restitution head in the Malang province. Thank you. I am not going to present the summary first. Maybe I will finish off with the summary. Hopefully my presentation will have covered all of the things that I have reflected on this slide, which is the process flow of how the claims were lodged and when they came to an ultimate end. So I'll go straight to page 3, which is the background. As the claims were lodged by 21 claimants in their respective capacities as individuals or representatives of communities, and it was against 21 properties consisting of 63 portions measuring 65,000 hectares in total. And the properties that are in question today are 9 land parcels, which are at the point in time owned by the Malamala Game Ranch Pty Ltd, and measuring 13,000 hectares plus. And so the commission after it did its work in terms of the validation of the claim, it gazetted the claim in 2002 and also in 2010. And as we're all aware, the gazette issue is about establishing any interest, including people who want to object to the validity of the claim. In May 2008, the negotiations for settlement of the claim started. This was a claim like any other, and it was being processed by the Commission on Restitution of Land Rights. And at that point in time, after the processes of research, gazetting, negotiation with the landowners, an offer was made by the Commission of 751 million. And this is in 2008. And this was plus an additional value of 66 million, which was going to be in respect of improvements. And the offer at that point in time was based on 52,000 per hectare of the 13,000 hectares that I've spoken about. This offer was accepted by the landowner, but was rejected by the minister. Basically, what happens in processing a claim is that the commission prepares the processing of the Section 42D after having done research, gazetting, prepare memo for minister to approve negotiate with the land